Today's daf is daf mem vav, but we can do a brief review of everything we did yesterday. It actually was groundhog. Hashutavim shenadru hana'a ze mizeh asurim likanis lechatzer Rebbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer ze nichnas letoch shelo veze nichnas letoch shelo ushneihem asurim la'amid rechayim v'tanur legadel tarnigolim, because it is vitur, no matter how you learn. Yachad mi amudar anam b'chaviro lo yikanis lechatzer Rebbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer yachol olomar lo letoch shelo ani nichnas letoch shelcha vekofin et hanoder limkor et chelko. So that we did yesterday, mostly, I'm leaving with the Gemara, but we talked about the four issues that are involved in that Mishnah. And it had to do with the following piece, how we were going to learn the following piece. Ayachad min ha-shuk mutar b'chad mi-yamana'a lo yikanes l'chatzer. Yezim Yaakov amir yachol lomar lo l'tov shelcha v'ercha ni-nichlas, v'eni nichlas l'tov shelcha. Which appears to be rather straightforward. We didn't see exactly what the chiddush would be. I'll leave it to Rabbanan. And according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we said that the chiddush is that even if it's not the person himself, we say that the original arrangement of the ba'alut was your use and the use of anyone who would be coming into the chatzah to see you, and so on and so forth. So it would all be. But according to Rabbanan, it's double parsha. I mean, why would I think it's a kavachom reason? Certainly should be possible to ask of somebody else. Like, you even ask of the guy himself. Right? That's the simple way of looking at the Mishnah. It would be difficult to persuade a naive individual that there could possibly be a reason why I could more easily ask of the person himself then I could answer someone else from coming in from the street. For sure I can, right? And yet we're going to see today, in analyzing more fully the logic of the Mishnah, that ain't necessarily so. I don't have to think long and hard about why that might be. Continues the Mishnah. Amudara na amicha viro veleyeshlo merchatz ubeitabal, even though they're muskarim b'ir. So now, somebody is not allowed to be nene from an individual who happens to be the guy who owns the public bathhouse. Oh boy. But he rented it out to someone else. But it depends. Im yeshlo ben tvisat yad, if he still's got a hand in the ownership. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Asur. I still cannot be nene from that guy's bathhouse because I'm partially being nene from him. Ein lo bein tvisat yad mutar. But if he's out of the picture completely and it's leased to someone else, there's no problem.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying ba'ir, does that mean it services the public as opposed to...
Doesn't matter. See, even. Omer lechavero. We'll see the important elements of joint ownership that this raises. Other things in the ear, that's the main point. Things of the ear, that's going to be the main issue, which we'll get to a little bit later, such as the Beit HaKnesset, they're publicly owned, which leads to the whole issue of corporately owned issues, which needs to be defined here as part of the dinim of the Shutafim. So
the question was coming because it was just showing the difference between a Beit Abad and a Bodida, and whether, and even in Shemitah, you're producing a small level for the one-on-one. Is the person
you mean even in Shemitah? Only in Shemitah. What does that have to do with the Dorn?
Right.
So what is it? You mean you just wanted an excuse to talk about it? You could have done that afterwards. We could have made a special thing.
No, that's not the
Beit. You could even market it, put it out as a book.
I just think a Beit Abad, you should keep an ear, means it's not one's. It's not servicing just one's personal use. It's there making money from.
And therefore?
As opposed to big farm. So that's not as opposed to.
I understand, but in terms of Nedarim, I don't quite understand. What is the issue? Nedarim, it's an issue of ownership. What does it have to do with service?
So I thought it was generic, because it's Meir, so it's generic. It happens to be Ibechel. This is the Beit Abad of the whole neighborhood. Everybody's using it. It's not something that's personal. As opposed to if. I rented it out to this person for personal use, and now you're coming to that one individual. There's a greater chance of you being usher because I have a family day.
sure that I'll follow, but we'll see when we get to the Gemara. Ha'omer lechaver konim leveitcha shani nichnas v'satcha shani lokeach. Somebody says to someone, I love it the way these guys are all friends. So that,
that's nothing of mine. The honorable, the right honorable.
So, your house should be a konim for my knisa. Your soda. So then if the guy dies, and then it's not owned by him anymore, it's owned by his heirs, Oshin mechorola acher, he sells it to someone else. So then it would be mutar. Because only if he sells it to somebody else, but maybe he sells it to me, it's still asur. It's considered to be that I'm being nene from his thing since he sold it to me. Konim bayit zeshani nichnas. However, if he identifies the house, or sadezur shani lokeh, then he made that thing a cheft of Israel himself. So he turned it into an actual cheft of Israel. It has nothing to do with the owner. If that's the case, as the Ran points out, there's also chumra in the other direction. Because when he says your house, then if that house collapses and you build another house, it's still your house. If I say by it zeh and the house collapses and I build another house, then it's not the same house. You may even have removed the ghosts that haunted the original house.
What was the first language that
it still is? If I say your house, not this house, so then even if I rebuild the house, maybe even somewhere else. But if I say this house, so then if the house collapses, this has to do with Srirut also. In fact, the same thing if somebody rents my house or this house. Whether I'm responsible to give him another house if something happens to this, I'll rebuild it. Or if this house and collapse, I don't have any responsibilities. Okay, you boy.
This house of yours is both two limitations, only this house and only this
yours. Yeah, well, if I say both.
This house of yours.
This house of yours, yeah, the Rishonim talks about this case. That then
both are limited.
No, then we'll apply both this to it. We'll give you both chumras.
I thought both
to this house.
What?
It depends on what sugya.
You think this house is yours? You think that both of it's not
this house, which is yours?
Shouldn't be a problem anymore.
Well, okay, we'll see. Let's wait. I'm just throwing in things I'm really going to get later. Iboilo. The Nadru Pligi. It could be one way of understanding this whole thing is that the person over here, and that's what we've been talking about, the person asserts himself on the other guy. And so the Rabbonot say over here, if that's the case, each one asserts himself on the other guy. So then we tell him he can't come in. Now we've explained the whole sugya that it's talking about a machlokas of yesh breira or ein breira. It may be a very specific application of breira, but in any event, there's a completely different approach. The other approach is that this is a type of kenas. In other words, it could be normally we would say of this type of breira, yesh breira, and that in fact it's not the other guy's when I'm using it. It's really mine. Maybe the Rabbanan are also made it that it's really mine. But they say, look, if you want to go around asking yourself on things, suffer. So we'll give you a kenas. But you're not such a lamdan to know Brera, Nish Brera, that, you know what? You want to ask yourself, if half belongs to the other guy, don't go into the chutzah. You guys want to ask each other, so both of you don't go into the chutzah. Go get a heter for your nether, and then you go into your chutzah. But it may be me, Iker Hadin, Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that this type of situation is me, Iker Hadin, each one has a separate ownership. So then what would be the case of Hidiru Zadza? How about if each of them answers the other one? So you answered me. What am I supposed to do now? You're going to tell me I can't go into my own chotzer because you answer me? How can you answer me on my own chotzer? So maybe the Rabbanan indeed in that case would say, no, of course, there Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is correct. Technically speaking, this is not mine to answer. It's yours because of the din of Breira. So perhaps that's the way to read it. So Benidro Pligi, where each one was neither himself. But what would be the din of Idira Zezemai? Mi Amina Benidro, it's Davka, where each of them were neither. Huda Pligi. אבל בהדירו זה את זה מודו לרבונן רבי יוזר בן יעקב זכי הנוסים דום. If the whole thing is based on a knas, then if the other guy answered me, so then it's my fault if he answered me. He can't answer me on my own property. So maybe over there the Rabbanim would agree to Rabbi Yezim and Yaakov that they consider it to be the equivalent of Anusim. Maybe the Rabbanim, in fact, are arguing Me'ikar Hadin from the fundamental question of how to understand the Breira over here, the way the Ram is learning. Remember that the Machlokas was about the nature of this Breira, about how it is that it works. That according to Rabbi Yezim and Yaakov, even though normally Midiraita, we say in Breira, this is not a normal case of Breira. This was the Ron's approach. Why not? Because normally the reason that we would say in Breira is because we cannot conclude a transaction or any type of chalot, not a clear English equivalent of that idea, but something that changes the state, either state of ownership, state of iser, or so on. Unless it's not just hanging there in abeyance as a suffix. But in this case, it isn't really hanging in abeyance. All that's left to define are the particular moments that I will use it and the particular moments that you will use it, about which we say time will tell. So maybe over there's no chisar of Breira, and that was the machlokas. That according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's not included in the general... That's not included in the general din of Ein Breira in a Diraita. And according to Rabbanan, the issue has nothing to do with things hanging for transactions. It has to do with the question of whether there's a concept of Breira at all. In other words, does the future hold something in store? If once you say the word Breira, you have this assumption that the future holds something in store. It's just that we don't know what that something is. So when that something happens, we can now insert it into the transaction. But if the future does not hold anything in store, then Breira is absurd. Then when we say Ein Breira, we mean in total. There's no such thing as Breira. It's not just not a meaningful concept. In which case it has nothing to do with whether it's in the details or whether it's in the central transaction. That's how the Ron understood the machlokas. Okay, so the question over here is, shall we indeed accept the Gemara in Baba Kama that learns that the machlokas of our Mishnah here in the Dorim revolves around the question of Breira, or shall we say that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov are in complete agreement about the inability of me to aser you on things that you have rights to, for whatever the reason? We don't hold a Breira. I mean, we don't hold it's a problem of Breira. This Breira is different, but it's irrelevant. But we give you a knas where you went ahead and created the problem yourself. That's all. And so, therefore, it would be limited to cases where they each made the Isser on himself. That's the question. Tashma? Says the Gemara, I'll bring you a proof. Haya echad mehem, read the Mishnah. The second case in the Mishnah is Haya echad mehem. Mudar hana'a mechavera. Okay? Mudar. Can you please tell me? Let's just think about the language. Madir. Mudar. Right? Okay, so the mudar is the object of somebody's neder. And that means the other guy, there was a madir, and I am the unfortunate victim of the madir. I'm the mudar. And the rabbanan argue in that case. I mean, isn't that the point? Actually, I mean, if you think about it, what other point is there? That second case didn't add a darn thing, I mean, at least the first part of it. Obviously, if two people can answer each other, one person can answer himself. So, therefore, that case shows us who pligi rabbanan, and the rabbanan argue anyway. Despite the fact that can't be a knas, it's similar to an ones. If the other guy made me the victim of his nether, and yet the rabbanan say, same problem. You can't go in to the chatzar at all. Well, I don't know that's not so bad. I mean, because the word mudar doesn't mean a victim. The word mudar simply means the object of a neder. That's all that it means. I mean, if you are the madir yourself, then we can also talk about a mudar. You are both the madir and the mudar. So, I mean, that's another way of saying a no-dare. So Ayachad, so read that as Nadur Mechaverofi, it makes you happy. It's not that there's any grammatical, essential need to say that the word mudar is unacceptable, it means Nadur. So Tzni Nadur Mechaverofi. By the way, of course it's gotta be. I mean, Ochinami Mistavra. Look what it says. The Ktani Seifa, the Kofim Etan Noder Limkarat Chalko. We force the guy to sell his piece of the chotzer if he doesn't want to go ahead and get a heter nadarim. I mean, diamet b'shleima the nadar. Who? If we're talking about a case where he made the neder, it makes sense that we should fine him for putting himself into a position where he may be nirshal in nadarim. So hayna dektani kofin eliyam reda adre. But somebody else made the neder on him. We're going to force him to sell. Boy, that would be a great way to get your shutef out of the action. You want him to sell. You answer him. And then he has to sell. So you give him a good deal. A deal he can't refuse. I mean, that would be ridiculous. So on Michael Finato, I mean, as on, he's got to be talking about. And actually, he answered himself. Very interesting.
I don't think it's relevant.
I think you're putting too much in it. Anyway, the problem is that there is an alternative. The alternative is that it's the perpetrator who should have to sell. Right? In other words, we're saying it doesn't make sense that the victim should sell unless he did it to himself. But fine, though, the other case that we were trying to prove is not the case. And the other case was somebody made the neder, and someone was the victim of the neder. So you know what? Maybe when it says we force up the cell, so we force the guy who made the neder to sell. You want to create a situation between shutafim where you're trying to ask the other guy now, and now he's going to maybe be nirshal. Either be mati your neder, or sell the property to somebody else so that there won't be a problem of the nadarim on the property. Says the Ran, the reason that we don't want to say that is because it's disproportionate. You know, that nice modern English term. You know. It's disproportionate. I mean, a guy asks somebody's property, we make him sell his property. I mean, come on. I mean, all they did was lob a few 10,000 rockets on you. I mean, come on, you're going to kill people for that? So therefore, the Gemara is taking for granted that that's not another alternative. The truth is, interestingly enough, that it's exactly the way the Rambam postulates, that the perpetrator has to sell his property, which is, of course, completely against our sugya. However, it is the way that the Yerushalmi learns the sugya. And this is how he paskins. How does he fit it in over here? And why you would follow the Yerushalmi, or that the Ravid screams at him and so on. But in any event, that's the alternative. So the way we're learning, it's got to mean that they were neider. The person himself was neider. The other way of learning, the way the Yerushalmi understands, is that there was a perpetrator, was a madi.
I'm sorry, I don't see the difference. I mean,
if you ask yourself, right, and you want to put yourself into a matzav where you may be nikshal in the door,
right,
our Gemara is saying that already makes sense to say that the Rabbonin gave you a knas. You know what? If you want to make that kind of situation, go sell your property,
right,
or go get ahead of your neder.
In other words, the difference.
But if the other guy was madir you,
right,
we're not going to tell the other guy. We're certainly not going to tell you to sell your property. That's absurd. But your shuk of asus, you say, I should sell my property because he makes me tzaris.
Right.
If anything, let him sell his property.
Right, the person who initiated
the problem.
Right.
But we're not saying that that person really should have to. That's not an alternative. That's what I, the victim, will yell. And I will say, it's not fair, let him sell his property. Right? And you'd be right that we certainly can't tell you to sell your property, but you'd be wrong in saying tell him to sell his property, because it's a disproportionate response.
So who's the one who's forced neither to sell their property?
Oh, neither. The only case we would tell you is where you yourself made the netter on yourself.
Then
we'll tell you, if you want to make a netter, go sell your property.
So you don't netter on
covers, it's considered a legitimate defense for whatever reason.
Is what?
Is it like putting, being answering in somebody else is like a legitimate defense?
It's not that it's legitimate, it's that it's just to say, ad kidei kach, that if you're doing something that we disapprove of, we're forcing you to sell your property, is a little bit. A little bit off the wall. It's just it's disproportionate.
So the Rambam doesn't agree with that.
The Rambam has his basis in the Yerushalmi. No, he doesn't agree with that. You're a shutaf. You want to go ahead and create a situation which makes your shutaf's life miserable, and you refuse to go and get a heter for your neder. So fine, you go sell your property. We'll give you a knas. Is that so crazy? Now, our Gemara considers it disproportionate. The Yerushalmi doesn't.
Logic of the other side. What is the logic of the people who...
Of what? The logic of our Gemara?
The logic of the other side who say...
The logic of those who say if you want to make life miserable for your shutaf, sell the property? That's not logical?
That I understood.
That's the Yerushalmi. Our Gemara holds that you don't force somebody to sell his property because he's not acting properly, whoever is such a thing. Where do we make people sell their property because we don't like the way they're behaving as a neighbor? Did you ever hear such a halacha? You're making too much noise at night, so therefore we'll force you to sell your house. I mean, that... Now, I know you would. No question. In the robot... How nice life would be, huh? But that's the whole Nezikah. It's a balance of responsibility and rights. A difficult balance to reach. Okay, so now it turns out we no longer have a raya. Okay, we have no raya from our Mishnah. Our Tashma has disappeared. We've given up bringing proof about this issue. The problem is there is a case later on about public ownership of things, which seems to take for granted this halacha, because in the Ran Estes, later on we say, where somebody offers himself on you and you on him. Right? So he now makes a nether that ends up essentially offering both of you. He offers himself and he offers the other guy. So it says over there, both of them are allowed to use things that belong to the corporation. The public corporation is called Ole Babel. Okay. And then there's a private corporation, which is a Dover Shalotah, which would include the Merchatz, the Beit HaKnesset, and so on. This tomorrow is when we're going to get to this and discuss the issue of corporate ownership. But you see from there that even though the other guy made the neder, we asur you. Why isn't that a raya? It's a Shneim Asurim. That is an excellent question. The Gemara could have brought a raya from a Beferish Mishnah. Next Mishnah coming up, it doesn't bring a word, doesn't say a word. There, I am ossering you on using things that belong to me. So if we're a member of a shul, you can't use the shul. So that means the Rabbanan agree that I can osser you from using the shul, even when I made the neder, not you made the neder. And that it's not limited to you ossering yourself. How better raya can you get than that, says the Ran. Why would the Gemara ignore that? Okay? So he brings a teretz from the Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that that case is different because I also asked myself. So in other words, although one side is onis, we're calling over here, he's a victim, since the guy who makes the neder is not a victim, he asked himself, there would be no way to sustain the Isser on the Noder and not on the Mudar. So if we're going to make a halacha that when someone is Osir, that and they Osir themselves, even if it only be limited to Osiring oneself, that you would be Osir, there's no way that we could allow the other guy to be Mutter and you Osir and not expect you to be Niksha. You say, what do you mean? It's the same Neder. How come he's allowed to go into Shul and I'm not? I'm also going to go into Shulza because of that. We made a low plug. But you can see that it's certainly a serious problem. The only way in which it differs from the case that the Gemara is asking is that I made both the neder on the other guy and myself. Apparently that's where the Gemara doesn't want to bring the raya from. Remember that it's not necessarily that we leave it this way. It's that once we take for granted that we're talking about the Brera situation, it's irrelevant. Right? Again, we're saying that this is an alternative to the explanation that the Gemara settles on in the Mishnah Bava Kamma, which is that they're really arguing about Yesh Brera, not Knossos. And the only question that would be a difference between me and another guy is if it was Knas oriented. So the fact that the Gemara doesn't want to bring a raya from a Mishnah and get into a whole give and take about whether it's different and there's a low plug and we make a Knas is not such a terrible thing. You may say it sounds far-fetched. But I can't bring you a raya from it, can I? You expect the Gemara to bring a raya from a case which is slightly different. And I understand that the moment it's slightly different, somebody's going to come back and say to me, well, that slight difference accounts for the fact that you can't bring a raya, isn't that so? Okay, so Rabbi Yonah's answer is very good. Because he's not saying that's the truth. He's not saying that actually there is a knas, and we'll make a knas because of a low plug. He's just saying, don't try to bring me a raya from that Mishnah, because somebody can always come back with that approach. The bottom line is that since the Gemara leaves the whole thing hanging, and we do have the other sugya in Bava Kamma that says clearly, Ravina says there, that we're definitely arguing about Yesh Brera and Brera, we can leave it at that. It's not that we're saying that the truth is that there's a low plug. Amar Rabba. It says Rabba Ze'iri explained that the machloket is exactly the opposite of the way we understood it yesterday. The machloket is talking about kishiyeshba din chaluka. We're talking about over here. Why do they hold ein breira? I'll tell you why they hold ein breira. Because what are you going to say? You have over here a property that essentially is meant to be split into two separate pieces, two separate lots. Each guy has got a right to buy a house. Right? Now, for the next 10 years after the purchase, nobody got around to building the house, nobody got the Ishurim, and meanwhile they're just using the place as a backyard. So now what are you going to say? That inherent in my purchase is the fact that while you use it, it's yours, and while I use it, it's mine. That's not true. Inherent in the purchase is that ultimately when we get the necessary zoning, we're going to be splitting a lot between mine and yours. So if anything is going to be huvrar, that's what's going to be huvrar. You certainly can't tell to me the future holds innumerable changes of an oscillating balut. I see the swirls in my crystal ball. I'll say, lady, you're looking at the wrong crystal ball, because actually we're going to get zoning and we're going to split it down the middle. So don't talk to me about these oscillating swirls, right? This just sounds like Professor Trelawney here. No, that's not a name. So, therefore, how am I going to apply a Brera to a case where I know that that's not what the future holds? So that's why the Rabbanan say Ein Brera. But Ein Achinami, in a place where it would be Ein Badin Chaluka, even Rabbona would say. I mean, so what other type of Valut is this? Other than a Ramban kind of oscillating Valut. A Ranz type of semi-Brera. A Shibud type arrangement in which Kainim could be Maftiyami de Shibud. Whatever the heck. But it certainly is not the case that we have as it is. It's a case in which you can't say a normal Brera because we know that it's not what the future holds, right? So, Ein ba kidei chaluka d'ri hakol mutar. Omar le Rav Yosef, no, that doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because what are you going to do with a Beit HaKnesset? Can you say, now despite the fact that obviously the other minyan believes this, that the Beit HaKnesset was meant to be split right down the middle, including half the Aron Kodesh, half the Zifrei Torah, the whole thing, straight down the middle, and we should be getting the other half. But that's not true. In fact, a Beit HaKnesset is not meant to be split down the middle. Right? So there we have a classic example of a Chotzer She'ein Ba Din Chalukah. And you're claiming that a chatur she'in ba din chalukah, for sure, everybody agrees that when I go in, it's mine, when you go in, it's yours. And it says beferish in the Mishnah, utznan shneim asurim b'davar shel otah ha'ir. And we explain over there that a davar shel otah ha'ir is the Beit HaKnesset. And the mikvah, of course. What are you going to do? Split the cold mikvah from the warm mikvah? That's outrageous. So all of that is a davar she'in ba din chalukah. Okay? So if that's the case, we cannot say that there is no one who holds it with a chotzer, she'in ba din chalukah. There's no one who holds it. You can ask the other guy, and it's definitely yesh breira in that case. Therefore, we're going to have to say it the other way, which is exactly the way that we learned it yesterday. El Omer, Rav Yosef Omer, Zairi, just the opposite. Machloket she'in ba kedei chalukah. Actually, the machloket is that we are no way able to split this into two parts, and therefore, the understanding right up front as to the purchase was that this is a purchase that affords, again, either the oscillations of the Ramban or the Shi'ibudim of the Ram, whatever, however one understands it. So if, however, it would Yeshba Kedei Chalukah, so then there never was such an understanding. It was always purchased on the basis of splitting it down the middle. So then nobody would argue, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that in that case it would be asur. There, divrei hakol asur. Omer Ravuna halachik Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Actually, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that each one can enter into their own area. V'chein Omer Rabbi Elazar halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is what caused us all of the pain yesterday, because I mean, how can we pass Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who apparently is saying yesh breira, if we paskin all over the Nidaraita in breira, which is why we needed to come on to taking all four elements into consideration and seeing how they play out and why it would not be a steer to the normal din of a Nidaraita in breira, right?
So in the shul, they can both go to shul.
They can both go to shul, yeah, according to that. Okay. Yeah, that's what we were saying. That's why we were so bothered. Why isn't it a steer in halacha? Right. Let's speak out. Yeah, I may as well speak. Look, there's a little bit of a question here. If it is a chatzah sheyeshba din chalukah, where we're saying that divrei hakol would be aser, is that even after the chalukah, or is only up to the chalukah? In other words, are we ready to say that once we do the chalukah, at that point, I mean, now it's your own. How can I aser you on something which is your own? Or do we say, but that requires classical breira? Because now the whole thing is up in the air. We're saying we don't know which is whose, but we'll find out one day. But I thought classical breira we don't hold up. So that which would mean that even after the chalukah, it should remain asur. We don't have the Ron's distinction over here between classical breira and the standard breira. So that Rajba indeed says that in a case where you asur that the chatzah sheyesh ba din chalukah, even the achar chalukah, it would remain asur. Because what's the difference? If we're saying over here that that there would be no breira in such a case, so then it won't help because this is a classical breira. It's not that it's basically all decided except when. That's not true. Part of this is mine and part of this is yours. So which one? Wait 10 years when we get the zoning, we'll find out. I mean, so you're going to tell me that up until that's not breira? That's the main issue. If we don't know the breira, how can we possibly use that? That's how the Rajba passes. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that in such a case, it would in fact become mutter li'achar chalukah, even though b'diraita ain breira. Why? This troubles the Ran very much. How could the Rambam possibly pass him like this? And he says, a very interesting story, that in a case where there is a chatzah sheyeshba din chalukah, and I enter into that transaction, then part of the purchase understanding as a given is that we enter into this transaction also with the understanding that I have bought from you as your partner your ability to aser me in a way that will not allow us a chalukah, will not allow us a usable chalukah. Because otherwise, Howard, you've got to be crazy. Why would you ever enter into any type of arrangement in which the whole point is that I should be able to get zoning and have my thing, but the other guy always has got an answer. He can aser me. That's crazy. So therefore, I sold you my rights.
Boilerplate.
If I am buying with you something that we're going to have to wait to get zoning and split, then obviously I must have taken into consideration the mutual arrangement where each one owns the other person's rights to answer about himself. Because otherwise I would be nuts to do this.
And therefore you can't
answer it. Right. Because it would be inappropriate to enter into an arrangement where somebody else could answer something on you. So it becomes like a t'nai in the initial shutafut. Which is a whole different issue. Now it's a fifth, this is now a fifth issue. The fifth element that we've never taken into consideration before that changes the halacha after the chalukah. Okay. The next case that we had was Hamudar Hana'ami Chaviro. V'yeshlo sham merchatz. So we said, if he has a tfisat yad, the guy who is osur on me, whatever that tfisat yad is, I'm not allowed to use his merchatz. What defines a tfisat yad? Kama tfisat yad. Omer of Nachman, a tfisat yad means that he owns a share of the profit. So he's a 50% owner, zemetzat, shlish, v'raviyah. But the girsa that we have is insupportable. Less than that, not. What do you mean less than that? 10% is not considered to be what is that supposed to mean? It's got to be 25%. Anything less than 20%, I mean, that's in Israel, that's true. Nobody's going to enter a deal because then he doesn't have veto rights. You know? But I mean, what's the point over here? 25% versus 10% or 23%? What do you mean, Bibatsmafi? The girsa, according to almost all the other girsos, is something else. Not Batsir. The Gibran's Girsa is Beitzim. What does Beitzim have to do with anything? He says, because the concession in the mikveh is to sell shakshusha. What do they call that?
Shakshuka.
Shakshuka. So therefore, if he owns the concession, so now everybody that comes into the mikveh, basically, he's going to be ending up. Because everybody buys. So that means that he ends up, you'd think, considered an owner because it's very important for him how many people are coming into the mikveh. Gamash Malan, that's not called ownership. That's just a concession. It's something else. So when it says over here, mechta shlish v'ravia, that's always a way of saying a share in the profits. It doesn't mean literally mechta shlish v'ravia. So if he owns a share in the profits, not. But if he just owns the beitzim concessionary, we got to try that. If it would go in the mikveh, in the rova mikveh, so well. So then it doesn't count. Okay, there's other dusos in the bor, meaning the storage area of the water, doesn't count. It's not making a profit in the actual people that are using the bathhouse. In the mud, be beat seen. They also do they do mud baths there. You know, he owns the massage park. It's on. Whatever, but in other words, the important point is he a part owner in the profits, in which case if I go in, so now that is, I'm using his mikveh, he profits from it, or not? We're going to see. That's a baya sheet. A baya amar, a filo bebeitzim asur. Actually, any connection that he still has to that mikveh allows it to be called into your property. And the only case that it would be shori, ekidomi to shori, the mekabel betaska. The only case that would be mutter is talking about where you're actually taking it to test. Which actually means, actually, it's something of a machlokes. There's some rishonim who learn that taska means v'maftach. So this is a type of ownership where you can't get the guy out. Now, what this, exactly, it's like the old co-ops in New York, which were disastrous for the owners. Because once you pay that initial entry fee, the key money, and they call it the Bein Aftayah, so then you can't get him out. And the reason that this is so important is because it comes to define the nature of Schirut. What is Schirut? Can I asser? Could I asser the socher himself? Let's say I own the building, and somebody now rents the building to me. Can I asser that person on the building that he rented from me? Now remember that according to the Ran, if we say that the Mishnah is talking about an arrangement whereby somebody has the right to use something as a shibud, then the reason I can asser him is because konamot amavki imidei shibud. If rental actually just gives you a shibud on my property to use it, and then I make a konim, I should be able to prevent you, even the socher himself. I could prevent even the socher himself from coming into the building that he rented, because konim is mafkir min shibud. So that if that's the case, kol shekein, I should be able to prevent another guy from coming in, which is what I'm doing over here. Now you begin to see how this is nogea, that last part of the Mishnah, which was talking about, can somebody from the shuk enter into the chotzer and claim he's coming into the other guy's chela? Because that's essentially what's happening over here. And this is where the Ran has his unique approach to this whole sugya. Everybody else is bothered by this question over here. In other words, can I be mafkia the rights of the renter? If I can be mafkia the rights of the renter, I should be able to definitely answer you. And you're telling me over here schirut. So how would Tosca help anything? So here we get into the whole question of, are personal konamot mafkim idei shibud enough? Remember that the whole issue that we had of learning konamot from Hekdesh is where they were similar to Hekdesh. They were a konim klali, where I answer everybody, where I answer one individual. It's not really similar to Hekdesh. Therefore, some Rishonim or Bechalik, since we're not talking about a konim klali, we answer this one person. How would that be mafkia midei she'ibud? Others are mechalek only katshe mizbeah are mafkia midei she'ibud. Not katshe berek abayit, which the obvious retort is that konim is considered to be the equivalent of katshe mizbeah. Anyway, is that the whole point? We're saying that it's the equivalent of a korban. Why would we say it's not mafkia midei she'ibud if in fact it's similar to Hekdesh? Only because, since we find in some places, Amur Rabbanan Lishibude, like we have by a Baal, Amur Rabbanan Lishibude the Baal, that certain things can't be mafkia, certain types of shibudim. So we would say in this case, a guy, I mean, in order to keep the rental markets open, so we make a takana to be Almei Shibude de Socher, to prevent the maskir from answering the Socher. These are all various approaches. And which the Ran disagrees with profoundly. He says even a konim prati is mafkia midei konamot midei shibudim. A socher definitely is able to be mafkia a maskir shibud. I mean, a maskir is able to be mafkia a socher shibud, and he brings a lot of very beautiful rayas to it, and so on. But what he does, okay, so he brings. Look, there is one way out of this, which he calls pilpul. Which he clearly doesn't like. But it says the Rishonim are mepalpalim in this issue. And what they say is that a taska is unique. Because a taska is the equivalent of what we call key money. It's the type of thing that you cannot get a guy out of. He could be morish it to his children. There's no way for you to cancel it on it. And therefore, it's stronger than a normal schirut, which is only a shibud. Fine. He says all of this is a bunch of pilpul. And what's happening is that people have lost track of the essential issue. And that is, everybody jumped to what appears on the surface to be a very reasonable conclusion. That if I can asser you, I can also asser somebody else. Like Al Vachomer, if I'm assering you from coming into your chelet, so Koshkin, I can asser somebody else from coming into your chelet. Right? Says the Ram, but that's completely not true. You take a look at the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah that says, and another person that comes in is also Machlokas, Rabbanan Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. You'll say to yourself, according to Rabbanan, it's no Chiddush. It's not true, says the Ram. Of course it's a Chiddush. Because how does it work that I aser you? It only works because the konim was addressed to you. Since it's addressed to you, it could be mafkia, your shibud. I can't be mafkia, your shibud, by asering somebody else on my property. I'm ushering someone else. George. I can't stand George. So George now comes to a chutzah that's jointly owned by Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven says, I thought I told you not to come into my property. Says George, I'm coming into your property. I'm coming into Shimon's property. Look, man, if I wanted to, I could usher Shimon on his own property. Oh, yeah? So go ahead. Do so. What does that have to do with me? Did you usher Shimon on his property? No. Does he have a shibud to use it when he wants to? Yes. Does that shibud include me? He and all the ones that are going to be? Yes. I'm walking into his rishus. So therefore we need to have a tremendous chiddush now to say that I also can ask for somebody else because I'm theoretically capable of removing that shibud. And in fact, we'd have to figure out why the heck would it be possible for me to answer him. Therefore, says the Ron, all of this is just a bunch of nonsense. The question makes no, it's not even a question. Why would I be able to answer somebody else just because of the fact that I could be mafkia, the schirut, from the socher? And therefore, that makes it mine. That doesn't make it mine. Either I did it or I didn't do it. When you think about it, you see, in fact, the Mishnah does have a tremendous chiddush. I'll get a rabban. Again, all this boils down to how it is that we understand the interaction of those initial four elements in the Mishnah. Okay, but it's a very beautiful way of learning, avoids all of the pitfalls, and even gives us a chiddush, aliva both Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the closing part of the Mishnah, instead of making it just an introduction to the question of whether he has to sell or not. Beautiful. Lovely. Okay, I think we can do our lengthy review. Hamudar ana mikavero v'yeshlo merchatzu beit avad muskarim beir im yeshlo v'em tvisat yad asur en lo v'em tvisat yad mutar homer l'chavero konem l'vet chashani nikhna sat chashani lokea meit o shemakro l'acher mutar konem bayit zeshani nikhna sat zushani lokea meit o shemakro l'acher asur iboilu v'nodru plegei. But what about Idiru Zeh Zeh? Me Amina Ben Nodru only with the Pligi. Avo Be Idiru Zeh Zeh Modeh Le Rabbanu Le Blazer Ben Yaakov. Because after all, I mean, we're not going to give a knas to the guy not to be able to walk in. I mean, it's not his fault. Chernusim Damo. I mean, obviously, they both irritated each other. And each one is the victim of the other one's anger. Odioma Afilu Be Idiru Zeh Zeh Pligi Rabbanu. Tashma. Haya Echad Mehem Udara Nami Chaviro. Mudar means he is the object of someone's neder, right? And nonetheless, pligi rabbana, so, same thing. Maybe he's the object of his own neder. I mean, tnina dur mechaviro hana'a. By the way, I mean, okinami mistavra. Because look, I mean, it continues on to say, itani seva kofina tanoder, nimkor et chalko. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Iyamat bishleim et nadar hu, hainu dikani kofin, liyamat adre, what's the word to mean? Kofin ato. I mean, he's an onus. How can we be kofa? It's certainly unreasonable to say that we're going to be kofa a madir just because he was madir to lose his property. Oh, my rabba, Omer Zi'i, macholoke b'chatzer sheyesh badin chaluka, sader rather sheyesh badin chaluka. Aval eim ba kidei chaluka, de rako muta. Omer Rav Yosef, that's not true. Because the next mission talks about a beta knesset. A beta knesset is certainly misha eim lo badin chaluka, dami. Vitznan shneim asurim b'davar shalot ha'ir. Elam Rav Yosef Amazir is just the opposite. The machloket is she'ein ba'din chaluka. Yesh ba'din chaluka. Even Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is moda that it's asur. Omer Ravuna halachak Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. V'chein Omer Rav Elazar halachak Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Hamudar ana mechaviro v'yesh lo sham merchatz. Im yesh lo tvisat yad, kama tvisat yad. Omrim Nachman Tvisat Yad is Lemerza, Lashlish, Lavia, Avo Bebeitzim, Lo. Abayamar Afila Bebeitzim Namios. Hechi Domi Deshori, Demekabo Betasko. Literally, a tusk is a basket. A tusk is a tusk.
Yeah.
No, really. It's
a basket of.